This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On February 15, 2007, the Charlottesville Planning Commission held an in-depth discussion about communication protocols. They directed staff to prepare written guidelines strongly discouraging any communications between the commissioners and developers or citizens with a position on a matter before the commission. A motion to eliminate those communications entirely was considered and then withdrawn. If approved, the City Planning Commission would adopt a style in sharp contrast to their neighbors in Albemarle County, where these informal meetings with concerned citizens and developers are a common practice. Commissioner Sherry Lewis was not in attendance for this portion of the meeting. In this recording by Charlottesville Tomorrow, we begin with Chairman John Fink's introduction of the topic, which is immediately followed by background information from Jim Tolbert, Director of Neighborhood Development Services, and discussion that begins with Commissioner Jason Pearson.
No, that's
a discussion that I believe Jason wanted to raise while you were out of town about ex parte contact by developers.
Planning Commission policy. We're jumping around here.
Should I raise that issue?
Please.
Is that going to be next?
Yes.
Okay. The issue that I raised was the way that planning commissioners, the fact that developers who are coming before the planning commission with proposals sometimes will contact commissioners in advance of the matter coming before the public hearing in order to have conversations about the project. And personally, I have, when I first joined the planning commission, I did meet with several development teams and learned a little bit about the project, but actually felt a little uncomfortable about the fact that the conversation was happening privately rather than happening in the context of a public hearing, since my sense of one of the values of the role of the Planning Commission is to make sure that these conversations happen in a public context. So I just thought it would be helpful to have a conversation. I know that there's been a policy, an informal policy, I guess you can't call it, but a tradition in the city of development teams speaking with planning commissioners outside of the public process. And personally, I don't really feel comfortable with it. I've started to just tell applicants that I don't tend to meet with them outside of the process. But I wanted to float it for this body, and I don't really want to say I'd like us to have a policy that says we shouldn't, but I would like us to have a conversation about it in public and talk about how we feel about it, and if we are having conversations, why we're doing it, so that at least that's on the public record, that we do have the conversations and we have them privately for these reasons. So that was my purpose in raising the issue.
I can make a response to that. The two or three times I've met with developers over the years, I've met with them at City Hall with a staff member present. So it takes away the potential for any untoward behavior. I'd also suggest you can meet with an additional planning commissioner, and that does not have to be noticed. Although in the last couple of years, I've made a personal choice of not to meet with developers or applicants outside of. But if you do and if you feel compelled to, I think doing it at City Hall with a staff member will give you, if you're FOIA'd, it will give you a witness as to what went on. I would certainly speak against meeting outside privately with an applicant or a developer by yourself. You know, it's even if it's totally above board, it's something people could point to.
Well, this was discussed, I guess, soon after I came on, 2+ years ago. The advice of the staff at that time was to, as John says, meet with staff. It's interesting contrast, though, with the VAR, which encourages individual consults before, during, and after VAR meetings, partly, I think, because the VAR process is a bit nebulous and designed guidance, sort of design guidance, occurs at the meetings, but is often not clear enough from the architect's point of view. And people on the BAR volunteer to kind of amplify and clarify what they think would be good. And I'm not sure if it involves the same kind of conflicts, of potential conflicts of role or not. It's close, at least. When developers have asked me to really look at plans, I have followed the same policy that John has described. But on the other hand, there are sometimes people who, especially new, who really don't understand anything about the history. They have these little glimmers of information about whether more density seems to be allowed here or not here, or what about this affordable housing connection, and so on. And I found it reasonable to give a little history and context, which usually clarifies some things, but often the history is not very clear, which is part of what it's useful thing to know, that there are ambiguities that are not going to be simple to figure out. It's sort of a middle ground, I guess.
I think my curiosity, in part, has to do with the, I see it as a staff versus commission distinction, and I think of the commission almost the way that I would a board of directors. And in my own organization, we have a board. No individual member of the board has any authority. They only have authority as a group when they come together at a board meeting. And I think of us as a commission in a similar spirit. And I think of the staff as really the ones who are the legitimate ones, for instance, in that context, to provide the best and most accurate history or the best and most accurate advice on such subjects, and that, in a way, some of my comments are aimed towards the empowerment of the staff and thinking about how to encourage development teams and applicants to be consulting actively with the staff and thinking of our role more in that board capacity and the kind of higher level strategic.
I've met with developing teams twice. When I have met with them, it was not at City Hall, and there was nobody else there. Some people would say maybe that's dangerous or reckless. I know what I said, and it was very, very clear to not be specific and to just give general thoughts of why I, as a planning commissioner, think the things that I do. And I think that was valuable to them to know kind of, they knew afterwards kind of where I was going to be coming from. Like, for example, sidewalks were important. Thanks.
I think there's anybody in town that doesn't know that.
They didn't know that, huh?
Now,
I guess I could.
With that said, I think there's a certain amount of there could be. With that said, I don't mind if we all decide collaboratively that we would like to have a policy that was different than that. I applaud the policy of meeting only at City Hall and meeting always with one staff member and always affording an invitation to another planning commissioner. I think that's a better idea. It just happened to be convenient the way it's worked out the other times. So I don't mind some regulation put on it personally.
I think regulation is more, and not because of the people that are sitting around the room, but if we put something like you suggested in place, meet with Miss here or some of the other folks on the in place, we will prevent future people who will serve this body from doing things that they probably shouldn't do. And 20 years, seven commissioners, do the math. There's going to be one or two slip ups.
They're always welcome to meet with staff at any time. And I think staff does a pretty good job of saying, hey, can you just answer questions before the meeting? If you have concerns, you're welcome to come in and we'll talk about it. And that's really one of the roles that staff plays, I think, very effectively. I just think that it's for me, it simplifies my life not to do that privately. And that's just a decision I've made for myself personally.
I mean, I think it's the one advantage in it. It's easy just to say no, and it, you know, kind of covers all those bases. I don't think you can be, you know, necessarily real selective. I mean, you can't meet with your friends and not meet with anybody else.
Right.
But, you know, I really pursued a position on the Planning Commission totally out of an interest of having been involved at that community level. I've had in my neighborhood, we have tremendous development pressures. There's always going something going on, and we have met as a neighborhood in my house with developers, you know, every other month for 2 years. And, you know, we had a meeting this week with two developers. One of them was the project that prompted this response. And, you know, like in that situation, I got the email that another planning commissioner was coming to the office to meet and if I could join that meeting. And I showed up, and the other commissioner didn't show up. So the idea of, you know, these establishing these other rules, you know, all of a sudden another commissioner doesn't show up, so the meeting's off, or, you know, the city staff doesn't show up, so it's off. I mean, you know, that would get awfully frustrating for me if I'm trying to participate in this and, you know, getting hung up on little rules. I think it can be more open-ended than that, but, you know, that's not the consensus.
Can I jump in for just a second?
Sure, sure.
I think one thing that y'all need to remember, and our professional magazine for the APA always has these ads, and it's by the insurance companies, and it says that not only does a police officer need to know the Constitution, a planner does also. And it's always by the insurance companies who are selling the errors and omissions insurance to the guys on the private side. We're covered, as long as we're doing our job, we're covered by the city. But there's two amendments to the Constitution that have a lot to do with land use law and zoning. One of them is the Equal Protection Clause, and the other one is due process. And as many of you have heard me say this before, I've worked in states where it was clearly, clearly not permitted for you to have what are called ex parte contact with an applicant or an opponent. Because what happens is, if the applicant comes and talks to you and tells you about his project, he may put some nugget in your mind that may cause you to vote for it that may never come out at public hearing. Or the opponent may tell you something that is absolutely untrue and the applicant never has an opportunity to hear that and you base your decision on it. That's why it's so, you know, the easy way to err, and our city attorneys and I have argued about this because they say the Virginia law doesn't say this. And I know that we run into people in grocery stores. I know that you have people call you. But the easy thing to do is say, you know, I hear that's coming up. I'll be glad to listen to it and keep an open mind until it comes to public hearing. That way that nobody can, you can't be criticized by either side. And there's never, you never have to get dragged into court and explain the meeting you had at the Mud House with a developer 2 weeks before the Planning Commission vote when you voted for it. And that's... that's the safe, easy way for everybody, and it's the way it makes sense.
And I really appreciate that. Is there any difference from talking about, you know, the concept of a project 2 years prior to any application being made versus I could see, you know, more relevance from the point that application is made forward?
Oh, you know, it's clear when there is a pending issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I would encourage people, we let anybody come for preliminary discussion. And I think it was one of y'all said that you know, individually you have no authority. Collectively, you are the Planning Commission. And that is true. I mean, you don't have any authority. Bill brought up the BAR. The BAR is not legislating. You know, they are reviewing design. There is, I think, a level of difference there between the two.
Well, I've been brought in by city staff, just like on BAR, to look at first quarter issues.
Yeah. Right.
Could I just respond to something Michael said? Because I think that you mentioned that you've been very actively involved in the neighborhood, and that's one of the reasons that you offered your name to the Planning Commission. I, too, was actively involved in a particular aspect of my neighborhood.
We remember.
and that prompted me to get involved in planning issues. And I have had to recognize that I can no longer have the relationship to that process mm-hmm. that I did because I'm a planning
officer. Well, that's a problem for me that I'm coming to realize, but the fact that I'm no longer a citizen of Charlottesville,
no,
you know, it's frustrating.
It's very, but it's...
I can't speak on an issue. You know, if I have to recuse myself from an issue, but I think I believe and can't speak on it.
I just had a conversation with Craig Brown about this afternoon because of the bylaws changes related to conflicts of interest and my curiosity at the fact that there are issues currently that some of you know about have information about projects, a project that came before you, that I have a personal conflict of interest on, and therefore I'm hesitant to even ask staff questions about the status of that project. And I genuinely do not know the status of the city's response, even though another citizen, my wife, my neighbor, could call the city and ask and get information. But I'm just choosing not to call and not to ask and not to get that information simply in order to maintain the propriety of the public image of what our responsibilities are. And it's just a different role. It's a different kind of citizenship.
Let me throw in one other, too. It just forget the legal. Our zoning ordinance and all of our regulations are very complex. You don't deal with them every day. I don't deal with them every day. I will tell you, I don't talk to the developers call me and want to set up meetings with me about a development project. I don't do that. If they insist, if it's in Brian's neighborhood, I'll get Brian to come in and meet with them, because I find out what happens. If I don't do that, I may agree with them. Yeah, that's a great idea. And then when they spend $10,000 in design, preliminary design, they come into Brian, and Brian says, it's not legal. And you don't want to get in that situation.
Let
me address one thing, because you've been an advocate for your neighborhood. I was a neighborhood president for 10 years. That's how I got into this whole can of worms. But I would just say that you need to get altitude on your neighborhood now, because you are no longer just a neighborhood member. You represent the entire community. And this is not like all of a sudden you're a good guy, now you're a bad guy, but it's like, so you being at these meetings and hosting them at your house, I would recommend that you no longer host them, because it's going to look like, and how people can twist anything in any way. Well, he hosted that. He must have been in favor of it.
A comment and question. I purposely have not attended a neighborhood association, I think one in the past 16 months, for that same reason, because I know they're going to want my opinion, the neighbors are going to want me back in their opinion, and I may agree with them, but at the same time, it would be biased, so I don't even attend my own neighborhood association.
No, but I attend other neighborhood associations.
Well, maybe others. Now, I got a question. Jim, do you draw the line?
Go ahead.
Where do you draw the line, Jim, then, when the two meetings I had, one was something that was actively coming forward, that was the Eddins Cottage. And then the other one was one that still has not even come forward yet, and that's the one on Maury Avenue. Okay, so where do you draw the line between, do you never have a conversation with a developer? Is that what you would recommend about a developer and about any potential project?
I would err that way.
You would? I would too. Okay.
I can tell you my metric for it is, if I think they're contacting me in my capacity as a planning commissioner, that's when I feel uncomfortable. If they're contacting me as a friend, if I'm having a conversation with a friend, they call me up, they're asking me about their house, what should they do with their house, what do I think of the real estate market, they're not asking me as a planning commissioner. But if somebody's contacting me because they want my input as a planning commissioner, or they want to communicate to me as a planning commissioner, that's what I think should be happening in the public view, not privately.
And again, suggest to them that they contact the appropriate staff and get all, because y'all don't see how we operate on a daily basis, but we give, we're here and we work with them, usually hours before y'all ever see them. Tell them pros and cons. We don't, somebody brings us something and we say, we rarely say you can't do it. We say you can't do that, but here's some things you can do. And
they tell them Perugia like sidewalks.
And we also, honest to God, that is, they can ask us what is the planning commission looking for. And we can tell them that. Or we can encourage them, you can encourage them to call the staff and get on the agenda and come for a preliminary discussion. We've got one that Mary Joy and I met with last week, two weeks ago, that we've suggested do the same thing for the BAR. It's a BAR issue, but come have a preliminary discussion.
Let me roll this forward a little bit, because we're having quite a bit of discussion on it, and I understand where my friend Michael's coming from over there. What if we, I'll throw this on the table here, as far as, do we want to, I'll make a motion that we add to our planning commission policy that if anything comes before any planning commissioner, that the policy be that the meeting be held at City Hall with a minimum of one staff member and a request for a second planning commissioner to be there. Is there support on the floor for that?
I think it's support. I don't know.
I think you've got the same issue, Mike.
What do you mean?
Again, if your issue
if it's
is
policy.
No, I'm just saying, you know, y'all do what you want to, but if you want protection, the issue is
don't meet with them.
The issue is not you talking to them. The issue is you talking to a developer or a neighborhood advocate about a specific project outside the context of a public meeting and all that information not being shared. That's the danger, that you would hear something in that meeting that would color your opinion, and then you would go into that vote, and the other side, whichever it may be, would never hear what had been said, and you voted based on something you heard that nobody else was privy to. That's the danger there. That's what
and what I'm hearing is the friendly amendment would be scratch that. There's no ex parte communication whatsoever.
Well, think about it like this for a second. What he's saying is there's absolutely no upside and there's a tremendous downside. That's the way I look at it.
I don't think there's no upside. I think that's completely wrong. Well, I think the upside is, with no offense to staff, they're going to hear things a bit more frank from a planning commissioner than they're going to hear from staff. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
I bet you they
should.
It should not be outside the public
meeting. My God, you're not. If I bring you the most god awful project in the world, and I come to you and say, Mike, what do you think about this? And you say, there's no way I'm voting for that. You better not vote against it in a public meeting, because I'm going to say you never gave me a chance. You never considered your mind was made up. You sold your vote. That's what happens, Mike.
You're making a jump from one point to another. In order to address that, I would say, you know, one of the reasons why you want to go through the Planning Commissioner's certification course is you learn a lot of this stuff, and you'd have to be pretty much a bonehead to come out with a comment like, yeah, I'm not going to vote for that. Are you out of your mind?
But he basically, what did he say?
But the other part of that is
what he said.
I still think you can be, there's a benefit to having a Planning Commissioner speak to a person with a staff member rather than just having a staff member do it alone.
What is the benefit?
I think the planning commissioners might be more frank about.
No, I don't think the planning commissioner is in a legal or ethical position to be frank.
You can't give your opinion.
No, what you
want to be
say
frank
is,
in a public meeting.
If anything, I think
you should be frank either way. But I'm not making my decision, and my conscience knows very clearly. I don't make a decision until we're right here and the vote is called.
But their conscience doesn't know. If you go, hey, that's an interesting detail. Just like you're being nice, like you always are, or something. And they go, oh, he likes it. And then when you vote against it, mm-hmm, at the public hearing, they're going to go to Craig Brown and go, he liked it, he voted against it. What's going, you know, it's just why? Like I said,
well,
what
make a motion that we have no ex parte communication, and let's put this on the table and we'll go forward.
I would like to move that we have no ex parte communication.
Yeah, and I would second that.
I have a question.
Discussion?
Yeah, discussion.
Did staff tell Keith Woodard that there was a conflict between the high store zoning of the zoning ordinance and the design guidelines, 200% maximum increase?
I can't answer that because the staff member that worked on that is not here.
I think the answer is no.
Yeah, that would.
I think part of that might have been the timing of fee increases and what happened with the submission of that site plan because of the increases.
I don't think anyone else told him either.
Because you're going to be more friendly.
And I also think that's one that none of us had ever dealt with in the history of the two documents either. So that's.
I mean, do we have disagreements between staff's opinion and planning commissioner's opinion?
Yes, we have. Okay.
So that's why it's good to have a planning commissioner's opinion as opposed to just a staff person.
What's your opinion, though, Mike?
I mean, I have to come up with a specific. I mean, I'm just saying that happens, and I've seen it happen. And that's why I think it's good to have that.
But
have
also, think about this. Think about a preliminary site plan review. When the applicant comes before us, we say, you know, we really like this, but we don't like this at all.
Okay.
And typically, they get the message that if they bring it back with that thing we don't like, they're not gonna get it. So that's an opportunity for us to be frank in public, where it's transparent, mm-hmm, where it's not, where they have an opportunity to come back and listen to the counsel we've given them, and you know, readdress it, and then come back for the final.
Okay. I'm satisfied with the discussion.
Let me ask one question. Legally, what's different for city council? in the situation they're in?
They're in the same boat.
Same exact nothing.
Every counselor I've ever talked about in 25 years has sat down there and talked to me as long as I want to talk.
Mike, it's the culture of this community. That doesn't mean it means right. That means what?
Doesn't mean it's wrong.
I guess it's one of those things. Nobody has sued yet. Yeah. We haven't had contentious land use issues where you get into those periods of litigation. Mm-hmm. That's when all of a sudden people will get, they'll come to Jesus when they get sued the first time and see it. So that's unfortunately that's what happens.
And keep in mind, you can be sued individually. We can all be sued individually.
And when if you take on my role, you lose your protection. As a planning commissioner. That's a fine line. That's a good point.
And that's the thing. It's their word against yours. He told me that because I met with him, and he told me that. And he said,
"No,
I didn't."
With him, it's still his court against yours.
Yeah, I did.
They met with you.
So the other thing, this is a real small town, and you can't meet anybody without being seen either.
Let's close this. But I would just say, well, we have a motion.
Go ahead, Bill. Got questions.
We have a motion. Bill.
What's the staff advice going to be for developers who say my project that I haven't developed yet but would like to is within the 1 mile radius around downtown where SUP will permit greater density? What are the prospects of that might be approved? What would be the issues about that?
Well, we would look at it. We would tell them what we saw as the issues. We don't tell people that there's a chance, what the chance is of approval. We tell them you pay your fee and you find out. We can tell you how we see it as a staff member, but we don't tell them we have 100%.
We always tell them we have no idea what direction you all will go in. Honestly, we give them the pros and the cons that we see from a technical standpoint and the code, but then every conversation ends with, that's what we see. However, it's hard to say what will happen once you go through the public.
But you can point to historic decisions that we have made that are relevant, going, well, the Planning Commission approved something like this in the same general area, and this is, if you'd like to see the site plan or something.
We are very careful to emphasize that to people that you're taking your chances when you go. I mean, we'll give you our professional opinion. We'll tell you what the code says. We'll show you the upside, the downside, but it's your choice if you want to proceed.
Let me ask, I'm on the streetcar task force committee. They're interested in what my perspective is as a planner or what the Planning Commission's perspective might be.
That's not a specific project coming before. That's a policy discussion that you're having in a group you've been appointed to.
Well, hold on a second now. I've got to respond to that. You said it's not a specific project that's coming before. So someone says, what do you think about, yada, 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 and you have no idea that it's coming before. And you say, that sounds like a pretty interesting concept. You see what I'm saying?
A streetcar, the mayor's appointed him to a committee.
Mm-hmm.
He's on there. That's why he's there representing the planning
commission.
People
ask his opinion.
Mm-hmm. He's representing the planning commission. It's clear to everybody involved that he's a planning commission representative. Again, we would never put a policy in the bylaws that said, thou shall not have ex parte communication. Y'all directed with a motion, if it's approved, we'll come back and have a draft that says, in my opinion, planning commissioners should avoid ex parte communication with applicants or opponents to a rezoning, and then say, if you get put in a position where you end up having that conversation, here's a suggestion for how you handle it. And that's the best way, because you're going to be at a Christmas party, and your brother-in-law is going to come up and talk to you about it, and you're not going to blow him off. But if you hear something that doesn't come out in the public hearing, there's a way to deal with that. There's a way to say at the public hearing, this is other information I was given on this project. I need to share it with my colleagues here. And then everybody on both sides knows it. The other side of the issue can refute it if they want to, or everybody knows it's on the table. That's
a good idea.
And again, so much of this is perception, too. We don't have case law in Virginia, but there's the perception of what's happening, and it's just another level of professionalism. And
this is a quick aside. We package some products to Sara Lee, which is a multinational, multi-billion dollar corporation, and they have a corporate ethics, and it's very, very short. It's like, are you doing the right thing? Is this something that you wouldn't want to tell somebody else? Yeah, and I think if we look at it like that, I agree with Jim. It's easier to, if you want to meet with a developer, invite him to City Hall. If you really think it's that bad. Now, we do have, for Robert's Rules, we do have a motion and a second. We've had plenty of discussion. We can talk about this for 2 more hours. It's like talking about religion, you know. Now, I frankly question whether or not we should make this policy, or if we should just basically do it on the honor system. You know, I don't know if we want to constrain ourselves.
I think it's kind of a basic concern. It follows a little bit from, I'm pretty sure this is different advice than we got 2 years ago. But I do think there's a certain wisdom to it still, to not meet with developers, especially when there is a proposal rather than just someone's wondering about a possibility. But my concern really goes to the BAR. And I think Jim's suggestion that's different is correct, but his suggestion goes in the wrong direction, because VAR's power actually is much more than the Planning Commission's, rather than less. And the BAR would be really strangled, in my view, in giving good advice if it acted as we are now being proposed to act. It would be, some people think it's inept and incompetent as it is, and whether that's so or not, it would be more so were this hands-off posture to be adopted. And that applies after lots of discussion back and forth between the applicants and the BAR, but also occurs at earlier stages. I mean, I listened, for example, to comments, discussion about 3 9-story projects. And based on the reactions to the first 2 projects, the 3rd project came in, and it seemed to me that had they been listening to the discussion on the first 2, that the 3rd project was very well designed to respond to what had been said. But in fact, it was just the opposite. They thought the 3rd project was terrible, even though it seemed to me to be very responsive to what had been said. And I think those kinds of things just really need discussion. It's very complicated. And so if this would become a matter of city policy, I think it would have very potentially disastrous effects for the BAR. It's also interesting with the BAR that there have been several occasions, I believe, where BAR members have actually gone to the site with the applicants and looked at the site and discussed it and can't come to an opinion that, yes, they thought that what the applicant was proposing was probably didn't make sense. They come back to the BAR, they listen to the discussion, and they change their mind, and they said so. So there's no real presumption that going to the site and even agreeing on site for the specifics is going to hold up. So
is the point that...
So I just think a little bit more informal stance, but in general following the policy that is suggested is a reasonable approach.
And we can remove this motion and just take the wisdom that has been offered.
Rather than make a formal motion, if there's a consensus, I will draft something for you to look at that you can say that's you agree with it, you don't agree with it, modify it how you want.
We could incorporate into our bylaws.
It could be in the bylaws, or it could just be something that you've said that you
want to do. I think I like what you mentioned, where you indicate that we do not encourage that we do this sort of thing, but if you've got into it, then you list the way we're about doing it.
Yeah.
I can look at that.
I would appreciate it.
All right, now, did you make a motion?
I will retract my motion in favor of Mr. Goldberg preparing the document as he described.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Question for the group. Do we really want to discuss Biscuit Run? I mean, it just...